Welcome to Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministry, your virtual community church. We're living in excellence, we walk in expectation. Join us now while Pastor Carter Dean Harris brings us a word from our Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah this morning, God. Good morning, Father, this morning. Good morning, Son. Good morning, blessed Holy Spirit. Good morning, God. We come before you now, God, as humble as we possibly can, God. Lowering ourselves, oh God. Setting ourselves down, oh God. Leaning and depending wholly on you, God. We worship you this morning, Father. We love you this morning, Father. We need you this morning, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, Jesus, Jesus. How I love him. How I need him. Cry out to him this morning. Hallelujah, God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We cannot live in this world without you, God. We cannot be okay without you, God. We cannot, God, survive and succeed without you, God. We bless you this morning. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And we ask you, Father, in your most infinite wisdom, to reach down in this earth, God. Send angels, oh God. Send angels, oh God, of healing, God. Angels, oh God, of covering and protection, oh Lord. We need you, Father, this morning to cover the people, to lift up the people, to change the people, God, the people whom you have made and we have not made ourselves. We thank you this morning for life, health, and strength. We ask you to send a word, Lord. Send a word, O God, that will pierce, O God, the very things, O God, that need to move in and of us. And we bless you in Jesus' mighty, precious and holy name. People of God, say amen. Say amen. Say amen. Come on and praise him even right now. Come on and lift him up even right now. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Let us exalt his very name together. Come on and give God glory right now. He is worthy, I tell you. He is worthy this morning, people. He is worthy to be lifted up. He is worthy, I tell you, God. He is worthy, O Lord, our God. If I don't cry out, the rocks will cry out for me, God. Let me cry out to you for myself. God, I praise you. Come on, come on, praise him. God, I magnify you. I exalt you, God. Come on, open up your mouths and give him that glory that he is due this day, that he has made. And we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Come on, y'all. Come on, come on, come on up. Come on up. Come on up in here, Jesus. Come on up. Come on up. Lift her up of our heads. Oh, my God. Satisfier of our soul. Salvation. Come on up in here, Jesus. Come on, God, and move, God. Move, God. We need you to move, God. We need you to move. Move heaven and earth, God. Oh, God, because you can. Move heaven and earth, God, because you can, God. Cover your children in this land, oh, Father, our God, our strength, our hope, our Redeemer. Oh, come on and bless the Lord with me. Let us exalt his very name together. Amen, amen, and amen. Oh, come on, somebody, and tell the Lord thank you this morning. It's Sunday morning, and it's a blessing to be in the land of the living, to be in the land, oh God, of those in their right mind. It's Sunday morning, God, and it's a blessing. Somebody, I'm gonna hit what you're blessed for, what you're feeling right now, what you're thinking right now. It's Sunday morning, God, and it's a blessing, God, to be able to open my mouth and say, Lord, I praise you. It's a blessing this morning, God, to be able, oh God, to hear what thus says the Lord. It's a blessing this morning, God, to be able to lift my hands in praise, in worship, oh God, to the heavens, our God of heaven, earth, oh God, it's a blessing this morning, God, to be able to say good morning, Father, good morning, Son, good morning, blessed Holy Spirit. We love you this morning, God. We praise you this morning, God, with everything in us and everything about us. We're messed up some on the inside. We're messed up some on the outside, God. But, oh, God, we serve a God who's perfect. And in his perfection, God, he even declares and decrees when we become weak in our flesh, weak in our spirit, weak in our emotions, weak in our mindset, he declares and decrees that when we are weak, his strength is made perfect. Oh, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah this morning. Good morning to you, people. Good morning, people of God. Good morning to you out there. Good morning, Rhema Christian Fellowship Ministries, Rhema CFM Virtual. Good morning, Virtual Church. Good morning to you, you and you. Whether you're on Facebook, we say good morning and we appreciate you being here. Whether you're on YouTube, we say good morning and we appreciate you being here. Whether you're, my God, tuning in through RhemaCFChurch.com, we say good morning and we are grateful that you're here this morning. Amen. Amen. If you're so led, go ahead and tag somebody so they can come in on this service. If you know of anybody who's locked in, who can't get out, who's at home because of sickness and distress, who's at home because they just won't come out, who's at home, God, because they're trying to get to work, they can tune us in on the way to work. Amen. Thank you, God. They can tune us in on their morning break time. Amen. But we ask you to cause them to know that Rhema CFM Virtual, the virtual church, is alive and well. Amen. Amen. We're here. We're here and we're going to worship in unity together. We're going to worship the God of our ancestors, the God of our fathers. Amen. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Lord. Peace on earth and goodwill. Goodwill to all of us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, blessed Holy Spirit. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Come on, let's get the word this morning. Are you excited for the word this morning? Let's examine some of these scriptures this morning. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray for the preach to come, but we're going to examine these scriptures this morning as we get started. Amen. Bless God with me now. Come on, stay with me. Hallelujah. We're going into, my God, into the New Testament. We're going to look into the book of Romans and the book of Revelation. We're going to look into the book of Romans and the book of Revelation. Amen. In the book of Roman, we're going to the first chapter, and we want you to begin to read with us at the 16th through the 20th verses. Amen. We're going into the book of Roman and into the book of Revelation. And then when we get from there, we're going to examine some scriptures in Revelation, the third chapter this morning. Amen. You see, we're going to look at some things about why and how and who and what and when and where and what God is doing in us, because we need some things done in us. We may not even be able to see what we need done. Oh, my goodness. But there are some flaws, some imperfections. You know what? There are some things about us that aren't right. There are some things that the world can't see. Sometimes we can't see ourselves. We put the magnifying glass on everybody sometimes but ourselves. But what I want us to know this morning, what we're reminded of this morning, is the magnifying glass is always on us. Amen? Because our hidden flaws, they're seen. Our hidden flaws are seen. There's always a magnifying over us, amen, that's looking down on us, that's looking all the way into us. The hidden flaws are seen. You see, normally, we are holding the magnifying glass. But what about if the magnifying glass is over us? If it's looking way down on the inside, oh my God. What if that magnifying glass is like an x-ray? It can see everything going on the inside of you. And when that x-ray isn't good enough, then they go to a CAT scan. And then that CAT scan might not catch some things way on the inside. So they send you for the MRI. My God. Oh my goodness. Our hidden flaws are seen. The things that are wrong, that we are hiding or can't see, they're seen. Amen. Let's look at, my God, Romans, the first chapter, the 16th through the 20th verses. The word of God says this right here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, talking about the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. Don't miss that. For in it, the gospel is the it. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. What can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely, it says, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived or understood ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Listen, the word of God for the people of God. There is no excuse for not living in righteousness. There is no excuse for not recognizing the flaws within. There is no excuse, you see, but you choose not to. Because of the flaws, you choose not to live in righteousness because there are some things that are cracked, messed up. There are some things that have flaws, amen? Some things on the inside of us that we can mask with makeup on the outside, with dressing fine on the outside. Come on, somebody. But there are some flaws on the inside of us, and many times we recognize them, but we ignore them. Or we know they're there, but we don't want anybody else to know they're there. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, it says in that 17th verse, from faith for faith. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by what? By faith. My gosh. You know, Paul the apostle starts this off by letting them know, I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's it. I am not. Why? Because the power of it is. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. That's what Paul wrote. It's the power of God. The gospel, I'm telling you. That which we get into, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. My God, to the Jew first, yes, and also to the Greek. To everyone, he says, to all of us, he says, It is the power of the gospel. It is the power of God. The gospel is for salvation. For in it, the gospel, the righteousness, it says, of God is revealed from faith for faith. My goodness, the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous with their flawed selves. The righteous, those who declare and decree God. The righteous who want to walk by faith and not by sight. The righteous who want to live upright, amen. The righteous who want to make the right choice and not the wrong choice. It says shall live by what? By faith, you see, because faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. We hope to live right. We hope to do good. We hope the evidence of things not seen. When we have faith, we have hope. We trust. And though things may get dim, we keep our eyes on the mark. Amen. For what can be known about God is plain to them. Let's get the 18th verse. For the wrath of God, it says, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Listen, he already told you the righteous shall live by faith. You know why you're living by faith, righteous? Because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness, it says, of men. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. The ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, the flaws, the stuff they're choosing to do, the stuff they don't want to live by faith in. They just want to do it their way. Come on. By men who by their unrighteousness, by their sin, by their flaws, by their iniquities, suppress the truth. You see, when you have flaws, you suppress the truth because you don't want it to come out. You see, you suppress the truth. When you suppress the truth of who you are, when you don't know the truth, you're bound. But when you know the truth, when you stop suppressing God, when you allow the truth, Jesus Christ, to come in, then those things are released. I hope you're with me this morning. My God. For what can be known about God? It's plain to them. He made it clear. God made it clear who he is because he has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived as understood. Let me tell you something. God created the heavens and earth so many thousands of years before they came up with the Big Bang Theory. Do you hear me? My God. For God's invisible attributes, namely God's eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived. It's understood. It's known ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. God spoke. Sun, moon, stars. Ha! In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Ha! The Big Bang Theory didn't come along till a long time after that. In the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. There is no excuse for not living in righteousness this morning. But you choose not to because of the flaws, because of the imperfections. You know, God puts himself on the table. We act like we don't know, but we know exactly who God is. He tells us exactly what he desires for us, he wants from us, and what he is able to provide for us. There is no excuse again for not living in righteousness, but you choose not to because of the flaws. God knows well who you are. He knows well what you are. He knows every flaw and he knows everything that's right. He knows every imperfection. Oh my God, he knows everything that's right. Let's go to Revelation. This is coming together. The apostle of John on the island of Patmos receive the revelation of Jesus Christ through an angel sent. Amen. God gave the revelation to Christ. Christ sent his angel to give it to John. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of God in that sixth verse says, He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write this: the words of the Holy One, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. The eighth verse says, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut, my God. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and not denied my name. Who, behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, the unrighteous, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. The 10th verse says, because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. My God, my God. The Church of Philadelphia had some flaws, that flaw of little power. But that flaw of little power didn't cause them not to trust the name of God. They honored God. They loved God. You see, the Church of Philadelphia was and is today. Amen. The Church of Philadelphia, anything flawed, is not whole. They showed us that we can have some flaws, but we can trust him who is whole. But anything flawed is not whole. Let's go to Revelation. Thank you, God. 3. Oh, my God. Elder, before we go there, thank you, Lord. Let me look at this. Let's look at flaws. Let's look at what flaws are. We can't run or hide from our flaws, people. Our imperfections have to be made whole. You see, flaws equal imperfections. Flaws are simply a mark. A mark is identifiable. Don't forget that. A fault, something that's wrong, or other imperfection that mars, messes up, makes unclean a substance or object, makes that thing imperfect. Flaws, defects, blemishes, faults, deficiencies, flaws, weakness, inadequacy, shortcomings, limitations. You see, Church of Philadelphia had little power, limitations. Flaws can be in the form of deformities. They can be and show us as tainted. Flaws can be simply a small crack. Amen. And sometimes something might have a crack so small. Come on back to me, Elder. There may be a crack so small that it's not visible, you see, to the natural eye. Ah, God. But it's visible to the spiritual eye. There may be a crack in your windshield that you don't even see right now. But as it begins to manifest, if we don't take care of that crack, you see, it gets longer and larger, and then we're able to see it. You see those imperfections on the inside that we don't take care of, that we don't ask God to change? They can come out, begin to come out. Let's go to Revelation 3, 13 through 17. Thank you, God. The word of God says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, my God, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. My God, my God. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. You lukewarm. That means you don't have a made up mind. You haven't decided whose side you're leaning on. You are taking your flaws and just living in the middle of those flaws. You see, sometimes you're hot. You're leaning towards hot or you're leaning towards cold, but you make it neither to either side. You're lukewarm, and with that, I would rather you be cold or hot. I would rather you to make a decision. I would rather either you serve me or you don't. Do you get it? I would rather either you be righteous or unrighteous. Go ahead and declare and decree what you're going to do. You see, because the unrighteous, oh my God, are not on God's side. For you say with your lukewarm self, because you don't see your flaws, you see the flaws of the cold, you see the flaws of the hot, you see those who are on fire for the Lord, you see those who are cold in nature, you see those, oh my God, listen. You say, I am rich, in that 17th verse. I have prospered. He said, that's what the church of Laodicea is saying. I need nothing. Not realizing that they are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. The church of Laodicea is alive and well during then and even now. Listen. As we look at these scriptures and we examine these scriptures, we have to understand this. Because we have those hidden flaws that are seen. Those hidden flaws. When you hide something, you hide it because you don't want it to be found. When you hide something, you hide it because you don't want anybody to see it. When you hide something, you hide it away from the visible eye. But the all-knowing eye is looking on. Do you understand? Even though you had something, it's still there. Even though things may be hidden from you, those things still what? Exist. My God. Listen. Oh my goodness. Hidden flaws are seen. Amen. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. What must soon come to pass. Listen, we can't run or hide from our flaws. Our imperfections have to be made whole. We have to change our ways. Listen, because we are only an image of God, we have flaws. Somebody is thinking God made us. He must have made us with these flaws. God created us. That's what it says. It says he created us in his image. So Genesis 1 and 27, I'll just remind you, says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female. Male and female, he created them. But because we are only an image of God, because we only look like what God looks like, our spirit man reflects what God is, a spirit, and those that worship him must worship how? In spirit and in truth. Because we are only an image of God, we have flaws. When we look in the mirror and we look at our image, even in that image in the mirror, there are some flaws. There are some things. I want you to think about walking into one of the houses at a carnival that have the different distorted mirrors. And when we look at that image, we see some distortions. And one will make us look wide. We don't like that one. And one will make us look slim. Or we love that one. Listen, one might make us look short and one might make us look tall. But when we look in those mirrors, we see some things that really aren't there. Are you with me? Those hidden flaws are seen. They are not seen by the naked eye, not by the natural eye, but they're seen by the eye of the Almighty God. Oh my goodness, Elder, can you bring up, my God, bring up the image we put up this morning. Bring that image back up with the magnifying glass, praise God. There you go. We have a magnifier over us that's looking down on us and can see everything. Begin to pull that magnifying glass closer. You'll be able to see more than what the naked eye can see. Even in this graphic, we can't see the keys on that keyboard, but we know they're there. We can't see what it says on that screen of that computer monitor, but we know that there is something there. Hidden flaws are seen. We can't see inside of that person. But I want you to notice that person is not covered in our flesh garments, is not covered by the things we think cover us up. Amen? Oh my God, thank you, Jesus. Oh my God, thank you, Jesus. I have to give these to you. Behold, I stand and knock at the door. If anyone hears my voice, just listen, and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he will eat with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He that has an ear this morning, let us hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Listen, our flaws can be the things that are wrong with us. Our flaws can be the things that hinder us. Our flaws can be the things that come out of our mouths. Even flaws, oh my God, make their way into our ears. But oh my goodness, our flaws are the things that keep us going the wrong direction. They can make us do wrong sometimes, or they can make us do right. Our flaws, even in this glass that looks like just a pure, pure glass of water. Oh my gosh, if we were to put this under a microscopic eye, there may be some imperfections in this water. There may be some things in there that we can't see. If this water came through a tap, you see, there's some sediments that come through in the water. And that's why we use those things called purifiers. Because we're trying to clean out some things, my God. We're trying to clean out some things. Oh, my God. Clean out some things, Lord Jesus. Lord God, we're trying to clean out some things. Take out some things. Because we don't want them to go into our system. This is a flaw right now. Sitting here. Thank you, God. There are some flaws even in the technology, some flaws in the things that we use. But inside of us, our flaws, even hidden, are seen. They can be things, again, that make us correct things or make us build on those flaws. Fixing flaws may not always be easy, might not be doable. If this glass cracks, I can't fix this. So what do? I chuck it away. I throw it out. Maybe some of us hold on to things, even with the chips and the nicks and the cracks and the pieces gone. We hold on to purses and we hold on to shoes, run down. And it doesn't mean, my God, they've been wearing them for years, but they still feel good on us. Come on. Our flaws sometimes feel good in us and to us, but we've got to work to our soul salvation. Fixing those flaws may not always be easy or doable, but we have to try. We have to make it right. You see, some flaws have to be put down, thrown away, cast aside, trash. They can't be salvaged or resolved. Sometimes our flaws are relationships. Hidden flaws are seen. Sometimes people are looking on and they think we're living the best life. But hidden flaws, I tell you, are seen. And when I say they're seen by the Almighty. And eventually he exposes them one way or the other. He's going to cause you to come out. He's going to cause you to confess. You see, it's like an engine to a car almost. If there's a flaw in one of the elements that's helping that engine to run, something might happen. so that engine becomes flawed. A brand new Mercedes with a, oh my gosh, running engine. Oh, prime engine. Oh, top of the line engine. But what might happen is this right here. Listen. My God. What happens if the fuel line gets nicked? Ah, my God. What happens if the battery dies? The engine is brand new as it is, as shining as it may be. Oh my God, top notch, cannot run because there are some flaws to the things that's flowing to the inside to keep it going. Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Instead of running smooth, a smooth Mercedes or Lexus ride, now you feel like you're in a jalopy. One of those clunkers from the 1960s. Oh my God. When you start to really look into the problem, oh my goodness, somebody keeps telling you engine trouble, if the oil gets low, engine trouble, come on somebody, if the gas runs out, engine is going to stop, you see? When you look into the real problem, and you look at that shiny new, sharp, cleaned up Mercedes, and you see it sitting on the side of the road just like anybody else's car. Just like an old jalopy or a van that's run out. You wonder why, what happened, how did that car break down? But let me tell you, because it had some flaws. There may have been some hidden flaws when you purchased that thing that you couldn't get on the inside and see. You see, there are things that are not revealed to the naked eye. But let me tell you, the creator of that thing understood the flaw when they sent it out. My God. The creator understands the flaws. And only the creator can go and fix that flaw so that it's never going to happen again. Oh my God. Because sometimes when we allow our flaws to just sit and stay hidden, while they're in that closet where nobody can see them, they begin to collect dust. Whatever they're made of might begin to rust. Whatever they're made of might mess around and begin to deteriorate. The wood might, oh my God, if there's moisture there, something trying to get through, it might turn to mold, oh my God. But God is saying, I'm looking at you. To the world, you look like you've got it going on. But I'm looking at you. I see your hidden flaws. I notice that you're not serving me like you used to because you've got some hidden flaws. You see, when you first came to me, you came on fire. You came hot, oh my God. You came from the cold to the hot. But now you're beginning to get a little lukewarm. You're beginning to set me aside and deal with the things of the earth. And now you're becoming lukewarm. You're becoming like the church of Laodicea. Oh my God. He says, I noticed that late in the midnight hour, when you used to call on me and you used to come to me, when you used to sacrifice in the morning and come and pray and come and give me everything about you that needed fixing, I'm noticing you getting up and going on about your business because those flaws are kind of not bothering you right now. Those things that are hidden on the inside seem to have become dormant. Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus. And I notice, as God said, I notice there's something changing about you, daughter. There's something changing about you, son. When you first came to me, when you recognized who I was, because I made it clear. You see, I made it clear to you who I am. I didn't hide from you. I didn't hold anything back from you. I told you what I expected when you came. I told you I expected you to live righteous. Oh my God, I told my God, my God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. I told you that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men. For what can be known about me in that 19th verse of the first chapter of Romans says this. What can be known about God is plain to you because God has shown it to you. I've shown myself to you. I let you know who I am because those invisible attributes, those things of power that you feel, that faith-based thing that you know. When you know that you know that you know who I am. You know who I've been in your life. Don't you falter. Don't you give up because things seem a little rocky right now. You see those hidden flaws that you have are those things that cause you to kind of rethink or forget the faith that I gave you. I shelled out enough faith for you. I told you you only need enough the size of a mustard seed, and I've given you an overwhelming amount of faith. But you've got to work that faith. You've got to live in that faith. Oh my God, because the very things that I've taught you, there are no excuses. There are no excuses for not living in righteousness. Yes, you're flawed because you're only an image of me. God is saying you're flawed. You're not perfect. The only way I could have made you perfect was to recreate myself, to cause you to be me. And then there would be a problem. Oh my gosh, in my creations, even your, oh my God. And he was our brother, your ex-brother Lucifer. When I created him, he began to want to be me. He wanted to take my perfection and have it for himself. Because he saw that it was good. Even Satan saw. He sees that God is good. He wants the goodness of the Lord for himself. But he wants to take it and do wrong with it. He wants the power that God has. But he wants to take it and do wrong with it. You see, my God, hidden flaws. Hidden flaws. Satan didn't hide his. He began to come out of himself. He began to show God who he wanted to be. Not who God made him, but who he wanted him to be, who he wanted for himself to be. You see, when we begin to go the wrong way, to go away from God, what we're doing is this. We're not being who God made us. We're being who we want to be. We're making a choice. He says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You're going to be hot or you're going to be cold. But even if you're in the middle, you're lukewarm. There are some things going on because you kind of swaying from side to side. You want to stir the pot over here, but you don't want to go over here and commit. You see, what's wrong with the lukewarm church, the lukewarm people, the lukewarm thoughts is you don't want to commit. You don't want to commit. It's easier for you not to commit because then you can do what you want to do and you feel like you don't want, you're not being judged. But I'm telling you that the Lord, our God, is going to judge at the end of this thing. Oh my God, you better come on here and know that your hidden flaws are seen. My God, you become lukewarm. You don't want to take sides. You don't want to say this or you don't want to say that. You don't want to offend this one or you don't want to offend that one. Come on now. Come on now. People are offended by the word of God simply because it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. In the beginning, the word was God. People are simply offended by it. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. People are offended by it. That's that lukewarm church. You see, the cold church don't care. They don't care. They had those cold people, I'm going to say. They cold. They hadn't even tried to get lukewarm. They hadn't even tried to make it to the heat. They hadn't even tried to come on in. They, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. Hidden flaws are seen, I tell you. I see your imperfections, though. You're trying to work through them. You'd rather I not look at them. You don't want me to see them. But I see, and I want you to pay attention because I'm asking you, do you see what I see? Do you know what I know? My God, in the midst of the very things taking place that are cracking in you, those imperfections that are flaws, those imperfections, oh God, that are shortcomings, weaknesses, and limitations, you can't do it all. You can't not do it all by yourself. You are tainted. You are human. You are flesh. Your power compared to mine is minute. It's not limitless. It's limited. Because God only holds limitless power. and to connect to that limitless power. We must be like the Church of Philadelphia. We must trust Him with all our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. He says, I see you, baby. I see you, daughter. I've got you. Stop having tantrums in this life that send you on a spiral on the wrong path. I'm still paying attention. I'm still here. You came to me with flaws. I loved you in your flaws. And I'm perfecting. I am. God says, I am perfecting the flaws within. I am fixing those things. I can take the broken vessel and put it back together. I won't throw you in the trash because you have a crack. I won't get rid of you because there's a smudge on you. I won't even throw you out because the world has caused you to be an imitation. You see, there's an imitation of life. I will give you true life. I sent my son and he came that you might have that life and have it more abundantly. God is saying, my son came. I sent him down. You see, in the beginning, he was with me and he's with me now, but he came down. We pause for a moment of time. My God and the Trinity separated from heaven and one came down and brought the other. Come on, God, so that you might be healed from your flaws, from your infirmities, from your weaknesses, that he might cause those cracks to come back together. I'll put the, oh God, I'll put the everlasting glue on that won't separate again. I'll do this and I can do this. But you've got to understand this. You've got to praise me. You've got to look at me. You've got to keep your eyes on the prize. You've got to stay focused on what I've told you. And when you see me in the spiritual eye, you will recognize that I, God, am worthy of all your praise. And then you will begin to understand Psalms 139 and 14. When the psalm was called out, oh my God, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. I will see my flaws going out, God. You have, oh my God, wonderful are your works, oh God, and my soul knows it very well. I can praise you now, God, because I do understand. I see you changing me. I see you healing me. And even the flaws that the earth thought they saw, God, you're causing them to disappear. The flaws that they keep throwing up in my face, you're causing them to disappear. You're causing, oh God, in the name of Jesus, for them to become my footstool, God, that I might rise up, God, and preach for you and teach for you and minister for you and care for the people for you, God, so that I might, oh my God, walk and talk with you and teach your ways to my children. Oh my God, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, even though I was made in your image, of God. And though, God, I am not perfect, God, though I have flaws, God, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I was made to praise a perfect God. I was made to live until the day of perfection. When Christ, who went to the cross, who ascended back to you, he's coming back for me, God. And I bless you, God, that I'm so glad that you're the one who can see my inner flaws, God. You're the one who can see the flaws that I have on the inside, so you can heal them. You can tape up. You can staple up, oh God, in the Holy Spirit. You can remove, you can make me over, God, in the name of Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. My hidden flaws need to be seen by you so that you can show them to me, God. We thank you. We praise you and we magnify you. We appreciate you for this word, oh God. This opportunity of the word, oh God. for the hearers of the word and the doers of the word, God. We bless you right now. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Oh, God, keep us, oh, Father, as only you are able, as only you can. Come on, give God a praise, y'all. Come on, give God a praise. Come on, give God a praise where you are. Give him a praise. Thank you, Lord.